Today's Shir Vishabur Yomim, the Siman, Tafsamach Zayim, we're up to Sif Yud Beis. As an introduction to this Sif, we're going to be continuing the discussion of kernels that might be chametz, and may have caused other foods with which they came into contact to become usur. It deals, the Sif, specifically with situations in which a kernel was discovered in water that previously, or subsequently, came into contact with other food. In such a scenario, it needs to be determined whether there's a concern that taste from the chametz has now been transferred via the water to the other food. If indeed taste was transferred, the other food would become asur midrabbanan. Because as you know, the deraisa of the food would be permitted because under normal circumstances, there's going to be enough food for there to be shishim. And this is a chumrah of Pesach that chametz is not batal even by shishim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama discuss two different scenarios, each with its own variables. One scenario is a kernel discovered in hot water, previously used for maliga. We'll see what this is in a second. Now, so this first scenario is where you have a kernel that was discovered in hot water that had been used to perform maliga, which is scalding on a chicken. What this is after the chicken is shechted, the feathers need to be plucked. Now, in order to make the plucking process easier, the chicken is placed into hot water and the feathers can then be removed with ease. This procedure is known as maliga, scalding. Now, had the kernel been present during the maliga, its tam would definitely have been imparted to the chicken. However, it is not known with certainty whether the kernel was in fact present at that time, because perhaps it fell into the water only after the chicken was removed. Now, one relevant question is as follows. Whether or not we must be concerned that the kernel was present before the chicken was removed. As we explained yesterday, in Sif Yud Aleph, even though we do not project the presence of a substance, of Isser, from one location to another, we do project the presence of it from one time period to another. Based on that, it would seem that we would indeed need to be concerned with the possibility that the kernel was present together with the chicken. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama present a number of opinions on this issue, which we will see coming up. Now, another variable in this case is that there's a strong possibility that the kernel had been eaten by the chicken, passed through its digestive system, and ended up in the water with it. And therefore, it becomes necessary to clarify whether a kernel that had passed through the digestive system can be considered to have been digested and therefore no longer become chametz. Now, this is a big issue because with regard to Hilchos Tuma, something that was consumed by a bird or other creature is considered to have lost its original identity and no longer serves as a source of tuma. But the Rishonim argue about the following. They argue whether this idea, this concept, is relevant to Chefta of Isser of Achila. According to some, it is unique to tuma, while according to others, it can be applied to the halachas of the Machalos Asuros, the Cheftas of Isser Achila. Assuming that it can be indeed implied to Machalos Asuros, there's an additional point of dispute as to whether or not it should be limited to something that has been chewed or noticeably broken down, which can more easily be assumed to have been digested, to the exclusion of, let's say, a kernel, let's say, that has remained whole that came out. So that's all the issues that we're going to be dealt with in when the kernel is discovered in hot water. Then there's the issue of the kernel being discovered in cold water. The water is cold, and that water was then used to cook food or knead dough. The issue in this case is whether the cold water is assumed to absorb taste from the kernel. Now, as a general rule, we know that an Isser item, food, soaked in liquid for less than 24 hours does not impart its taste to the liquid, and the liquid remains mutter. However, with regard to chametz on Pesach, there are opinions that are machmir and Paskin that we are concerned for transfer of taste into cold water. And this chomer view maintains that the water becomes usser, and it then transfers its chametz taste into whatever it is used to cook or bake. Now, more than this, even if the water is not subsequently used for cooking or baking, but some mutter substance, such as meat or chicken, was present in the water together with the kernel, so then that item, such as the meat or the chicken, would become usser. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama are going to present various positions and psukim halachics on all these issues. And now, with this intro, we should be able to really, handle this in a significant way. And here we go. Again, it's a very long sif that will be split up into that are 2 days worth of yomi. Here goes sif yud beis im molgu. If someone performed maliga on a chicken, meaning he boiled it in water to remove the feathers, so imolgu tarnagelus, right? So he went ahead and performed maliga on the chicken. And subsequently, he found a cracked wheat kernel in the water. So then, asura ha tarnagelus. Then the tarnagelus is asura, is Aser to be eaten. So let's see. Sif katan nun beis im modo. After this bayar biyaradeya simin samiches sifid aleph. The ein lim log afilu gukli sheni. So here he's pointing out to something very important from Yaradeya, that even though we know that you're not allowed to really do maliga, period, you're not allowed to scald chickens prior to salting them, even in a kli sheni, because that's going to go ahead and trafe up the chicken, because you're not allowed to, it's like Purdue chickens, for example. When they go ahead and they scald the chickens to take off all the feathers, they trafe up the chickens that way because you have to do malicha first. So he says here we're talking about hachamayi shenimlach mikodem al gabe anotza. He says here we're talking about where the chicken was actually previously salted over the feathers. Now, meaning normally one would remove the feathers before salting a chicken. However, salting is actually effective even if done on top of the feathers. Accordingly, Shulchan Aruch here is referring to a case where the malicha had indeed been performed before the maliga, such that it is perfectly fine to perform maliga even in a kli rishon. Okay, so now let's see. So now we're talking about with mamish. It was mamish boiling hot water in a kli rishon, and that's what we're talking about here. So you find in this water agarni nafchita bakua. So the Shulchan Aruch said asirah tarnagolos n'gimel. Darminan, what's the issue? As we explained in the introduction, Darminan shema haisa achita v'mayim b'shas maliga, because we say that the wheat kernel may have been in the water during the scalding. The lo amrinan kan nimtza v'kan haya elal inyan makom l'makom o mechaticha l'chaticha. Because we apply the principle that if it was found here, it was always here, only with regard to projecting the presence of a substance from a makom to a makom, from one place to another, or from one piece to another, as we mentioned above, k'noyma le'el b'sif yud aleph. Aval b'makom echad k'gon, however, with regard to where it's in one location, for example, k'gon, the yesh l'sapek b'zman, where there's uncertainty regarding, as we see here, timing, v'lomar, shema yisa achita b'mayim kodol l'chein, and we have the suffix that perhaps the wheat kernel was in the water earlier, so there we do not say that it fell only now. Meaning, the uncertainty discussed in our sif is essentially one regarding timing and not location. The question at hand is not whether the kernel had previously been present in some other location. Rather, the question is whether the kernel had previously been present in the exact same location at a previous time. If, in fact, the kernel was present in the water at the time of the maliga, then the chicken will be usser. It will be rendered usser. And therefore, we apply the principle of machzikin iser mizman lizman, as we saw yesterday in Sif Yud Aleph. And the chicken, then, is usser. Now, even though we are faced with a suffix regarding a derabbanan here, because as you know, midairaisa is batal b'shishin, and therefore we should say lakula, because it's a suffix derabbanan, here this opinion is machmir, okay? As opposed to, as we're going to see, the beginning of the Ramah's comment, when the Ramah gets involved in this issue. But the Bach explains that the reason for the Shulchan Aruch is because the actual iser of chametz itself is midaraisa. So therefore, we're machmir with the sfeikus involving chametz, even if it involves only a possible minute amount of chametz, a kolshehu. That's the Bach. Prima Gadim explains that this scenario is not subject to the principle of a suffix derabbanan, lekula. Why? Because the chametz is now in the water, and we have no knowledge that the water was originally free of chametz, so we have to assume that the chametz had been present earlier as well. And this is treated as a matter of certainty, and we therefore are machmir in spite of the fact That means the rabbi. In other words, there's an idea of a chazaka de hashta going back, because there was no chazaka de meikara. And what also should be pointed out is that this applies only if at the time that the kernel is discovered, the water is still in the same location it had been when the chicken was scalded in it. If, however, the kernel was discovered only after the water was removed to a new location, the chicken would be mutter, since it would now be necessary to project the presence of the kernel from one location to another. This, in fact, is spelled out in the Shaar HaTzion, Pei Zayin, okay, and we also discussed it as well back in Sif Yud Aleph, this whole issue. So let's go back to the Mishnah Brura. So we do not say Lo Amrinan Hashda Nafla, right? Aval Makom Echad Kedol Yesh Sape Bizman. The Lo Mashem Aisa Achita B'Mayim Kodem Lochein. Lo Amrinan Hashda Nafla. Then he goes on. Vinei Hamachaber Kasav Kan Chita Bekua. We should point out now. The Shulchan Aruch writes here a cracked wheat kernel. That's what he writes. Chita Bekua. V'Haramah Lo Igia Al Zeh Klum K'mo She'Igia Le'El B'Sif Tes. The Ramah does not comment at all on this, as he did in, as we saw in Sif Tes, where we know that they discuss there the status of a tafshil in which a grain kernel is discovered. And the Shulchan Aruch, you remember, passed that unless the kernel had actually cracked open, the cooked dish is permitted. While the Ramah was machmir and maintains that even if the kernel had not cracked open, the cooked dish would be usser. So the situation here discussed in Arsif would appear to be comparable. So while according to the Shulchan Aruch, we would ask the chicken only if the kernel had cracked, the Ramah should seem to assert the chicken even if the kernel had not actually cracked. Yet the Ramah makes no mention of this. So the Mishnah Brura is going to explain two reasons now why this is so. So he says, Yesh Omrim, Dekan Moda. So some say that the Ramah here agrees with the Shulchan Aruch, Lamachaber, the Dafka Bekua of Lonis Racha, that he agrees that only a cracked kernel asses the chicken, and not if it is merely softened. Why? Because there's an additional Mishud Yesh Od Safek Shema Hashav Nafal. There's another Safek that the kernel may have fallen into the water just now. In other words, back in Sif Tes, it is known clearly the kernel was cooked together with a cooked dish. In our case, on the other hand, we're not certain that the kernel was present when Maliga was done on the chicken. So because of this additional mitigating factor, the Ramah agrees that we needn't aser the chicken unless the kernel had actually cracked open. That's one approach. However, some argue, continue on in the Mishnah Brura, the Yeshom the Ramah Samach Agoso Le'el B'Sif Tes. Others say that the Ramah, no, he refrained from commenting here only because he relied on what he said before in Sif Tes, and therefore there really is no distinction. V'chein Mashma B'Taz, and this is what it implied in the Taz, Lo Hitir Bin Yanenu Bin Srachachu Rak Ba'ana V'lo Ba'achila, and that is the Taz who permits only benefiting from the chicken in our case if the kernel was softened, but not consuming it. However, he says, Achein Matzasi B'Beis Meir, the Din Zesh Hasasar Mechaber B'Machlekes Shnuya. The Mishnah Brura says he found in the Beis Meir that this halacha the Shulchan Aruch presents is really a machlokes in the Rishonim. Levada Deya Shuhus Muskar Barama. In addition to the makel opinion that will be cited by the Rama, okay, you're going to see Rama in the beginning of his comment is going to quote an opinion which is makel in the case of the kernel found in water that was used for maliga. So we'll see coming up in the Mishnah Brura in Nun Zayin, this view accepts the general principle that an item found now must be assumed to have possibly been present earlier, but maintains that in a situation involving Adir Rabbanan, it could be Mekel. The view now here cited by the Beis Meir, on the other hand, is going to reject entirely the concept of being concerned that something found now might have been present earlier. Look what he says. Achein Matzati Beis Meir, Dinzer Zodom Vachar B'Chog Yishuyit L'Vav Deir Shukav Ramah, V'Yalkein Nireh, L'Anias Daiti. Therefore, it seems, he says, in his humble opinion, therefore, it seems, he says, in his humble opinion, that one relies on the makel position to permit even eating this chicken if the kernel was only softened and the chicken, right? And the chicken, right, had been scalded only in a klisheni lohifsid. He does not lose out, and basically, what he's doing here is he's being makel because of all the following factors. Number one, the kernel is only softened but not actually cracked. Two, the chicken and kernel came into contact with one another only in a klisheni. Three, according to some Rishonim, there's never concern that an item found now might have been present earlier. And four, the view cited by the Ramah is makel, since we are dealing with a case involving a minute amount of chametz mixed in with other food, which is only the Rabbanan. We're going to see this position of the Ramah coming up very soon. So all these factors, he's saying, one could for sure be makel legabe a kernel that has only softened. And then he says, v'im lo nisrachcha, and he says, if it hasn't even become softened, where we said in the previous sif that we're machmir, because maybe we don't know, he says, if it hasn't become softened, afilu maysaham liga b'kli rishon gam kein mutter. Then, even if the scalding was in a kli rishon, the chicken is still going to be mutter and permitted by a kernel which has not even begun to soften, okay, that we know, okay, doesn't ask for the food. We're just normally, you know, as we saw in Yad Aleph, we're machmir, because we don't know the difference. That's what was implied in the Ramah. But here, you would not have to be machmir. Continuing now on in the Shulchan Aruch, and then he says, "V'im nimtzei schita b'kua o lechem chametz b'kli shel mayim ve'ein bo kidei nitein tam sham mayim sinanim." If a cracked wheat kernel or a piece of chametz bread was discovered in a kli full of water, which is not able to give tam because the water is cold, and then someone cooked a dish with that water, right? Bishlu ba'oso mayim tashil o lashu isa mutter, right? If someone cooked a dish with the water or kneaded dough with it, the dish or dough is going to be considered mutter. It is permitted. Then he says v'yesh misha oser imu b'sof pesach. However, he says there are those that aser if it is in the midst of pesach. So let's see. Sif katan nun dalid ve'imbo shamayim tzayinun. Rotz lomar. What's going on here? We talked about this in the introduction, and he says as follows: v'hamayim tzayinun. He's adding here, and v'hamayim tzayinun. He's adding an additional factor. The tarti boy. We're talking here with his two factors. Number one, shachametz muat she'imbo shir litain tam b'mayim. Number one is that the quantity of chametz is small, such that it is not enough to give over tam, to impart taste into the water. Why? Because it's at least shishim against the volume of the chametz. And also, gam shamayim soinim. And additionally, the water is cold. So there's not enough to give tam because there is the quantity of more than shishim. And another factor is that it's cold, and that's another reason why it can't give over the tam. And that's why this opinion is makel even during Pesach. Why? The kaven de mashu b'drabanan, since mashu chametz in where there is more than shishim to be mevatel, and it's only a mashu, and that's only b'drabanan. So lo machrinan, not machmir b'tzone when you're dealing with kol. Sif katan nun hey mutter. So it's going to be mutter. B'im yadua shenishra achita me'es la'es b'mayim aser. If it is known that the wheat kernel was soaked in water for 24 hours, then the food cooked with this water or dough kneaded with this water will be usher. Why? The kavush kumavushal, because this is the principle that soaking for 24 hours, kavush, is equivalent to cooking. And even if there's merely a suffix that it might have been soaked in the water for 24 hours, even regarding that, the opinion of some achronim is that even so, one should be machmir. This is the opinion of the Magen Avram, based on the Ramah and Yeridaya, who paskins that when we are uncertain as to whether or not an usher item and a permitted item have been soaked together for 24 hours, we are machmir. Now, even though the Ramah limits this psak to a case involving a d'iraisa, in our case, obviously, involves only a d'rabbanan of a mashahu, nevertheless, okay, as we said a number of times, since chametz itself is asa midaraisa, okay, then Magen Avraham here holds that we have to treat even a derabbanan safek here lechumra, and that's why these achronim are machmir. When we call a machita shein b'kua rakens rachacha in la'achmir b'sfek. However, he said regarding a wheat kernel which is not cracked but only has become softened, he said here it's not necessary to be machmir in the case of sveka in la'achmir b'sfeka. Afil b'chita b'kua, and even regarding a wheat kernel that has cracked. This is specifically only if the wheat kernel was found in the water and someone subsequently cooked with that water. and therefore the water was used for cooking, okay, the water that was used for cooking most certainly came into contact with the kernel. However, if the wheat kernel was found in the water only after someone had cooked, one could be makel with an iser of a minute amount of chametz mixed into the chametz, because even if the water used for cooking did indeed absorb taste of the kernels, that taste is certainly buckled by a shishim in the water. The concern is simply that there is, like, there can maybe be a minute amount of chametz taste, which would present only a derabanan, iser. So therefore, you could be makel. And the reason is because he says, Eshel hakel b'zimashu, why? The sveik sekehu. Because there's going to be a sveik sekeh. Shema nafla achita achakach. And it's in my mind, we call them, Shema lo nishra me'es le'ez v'mayim v'lo avikamash. Meaning, perhaps the wheat kernel fell into the water afterwards. And even if you're going to say that it fell in beforehand, perhaps it was not kavush in the water for 24 hours. It didn't soak in the water for 24 hours. And therefore, it's not considered, okay, kavush. Lo havi kavush. The mutal zayazu b'sayinim. Okay? And therefore, the water is going to be mutter according to this opinion, since it's cold. It's b'sayinim. Afilu das ayesh misha omer da'oser b'sayinim tocha pesach. And even according to the opinion, as we're going to see, right? We already saw that we've discussed in the Mishnah Berurah coming up, the Yesh Misha Oser, who says, your Oser, if it's B'toch Pesach, right? Even according to that opinion, right? So even according to that opinion, which would Oser our case, at least under pressing circumstances or in situations of substantial loss, one would not have to be machmir, as explained below, as we will see coming up, weiter, that even though the Ramah paskins in favor of this machmir view, the Mishnah Berurah will see in Samach Beis paskins that under pressing circumstances, one can rely on the makel view, that a minute amount of chametz does not aser other food through the medium of cold water, even on Pesach. And it should be noted that the case the Mishnah Berurah is discussing is one of a suffix as to whether the kernel was present in the water before it was used to cook the chicken. In that case, the Ramah below says that we don't have to be machmer and take into account the opinion that even a minute amount of chametz, right, tam, transferred via cold water. Ramah does not require, okay, extenuating circumstances for this sack. However, the Mishnah Berurah's case is more chamor, since there is the additional possibility that the kernel may have been soaked. It is therefore not entirely clear that the Ramah would be makel in our case, and the Mishnah Berurah therefore states that at least under pressing circumstances we can be makel. Continuing weiter, sif katan, okay, nunvav. We're now on the second part of the Shulchan Aruch where he says v'yesh misha oser imhu betoch pesach. There are those aser if it's betoch pesach. The sphere lay, because this opinion holds the af b'sayinein eino no sein tam. This opinion holds that even though something in cold water does not impart tam, nevertheless, this opinion holds, nevertheless, a minute amount of taste is imparted even in cold water. This opinion holds that a usher item does impart a minute amount of taste into a liquid even when soaked for less than 24 hours. Generally, normally, that minute amount would become batal, so therefore it's irrelevant. On Pesach, however, when bittel does not apply, that minute amount of taste renders the liquid usher. That's what his opinion holds. L'chein tocha pesach, isur b'mashu, continue to be Mishnah Berurah. Therefore, tocha pesach, where the isur is mashu, this opinion asers. V'davka gish nimtza achita v'yachakach bishlu b'osu b'ayim. Aval nimtza achar shabishlu, ein lahach mer b'tzoyle in mesveika. But he points out, therefore, during Pesach, when chametz asers other foods, with even a minute amount, the food cooked with this water, a dough kneaded with this water, is aser. And this applies, davka, if the wheat kernel was discovered in the water and that the water was subsequently used to cook. But if the kernel was discovered only after the water was cooked with, so then there's no reason to be machmir regarding a possible transfer of tam into the cold water in a situation of such a suffix such as this one. Meaning, since it is uncertain whether the kernel came into contact with the water before it was used to cook, we don't have to be machmir about possible transfer of taste into the cold water. Now, this psak is stated explicitly by the Ramah coming up. The Mishnah Berurah is explaining that the Shulchan Aruch also agrees with it. This is what the Shartzion points out. Now, the Nar Shalom, who is Mishnah Berurah's source here, explains that this is clear from the Shulchan Aruch's formulation when he says a kernel was discovered and someone cooked a dish with that water, implying that the kernel was in fact found before the water was used to cook food. Now we get to the Ramah. Now this normally would be the end of today's Yoni, but in order to keep the flow, because it's very important to keep the flow, we're going to be doing 2 days of Yoni worth in one Yoni. In fact, this is really 3 days worth of Yoni, as we'll see. Ramah. Yesh mi shematir afilu b'maligas tarnagolim, mishum d'amina shemar achakach nafla l'sham. So Ramah says there are those that are matir, the food, even in the case of maliga of chickens, because we say that perhaps it fell there afterwards. Now the Ramah does a whole flip on the site, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, Sifkatan nun zayin, Darmin and Shema Rotolomar came in the mashu midrabanan mikilinan bisveiko, the talinan sha'achar kach nafla. This opinion holds that since the iser of mashuhu on the chometz is only the rabbanan, we are makel because it's a safek rabbanan bakula. And we'll say here that we assume that if it may have fallen in only after the chicken was scalded. This opinion holds that the principle that we've been using of machzikin iser mizman lizman, that we project the presence of a iser substance from one period of time to another, does not tell us that the usher item was definitely present earlier. Rather, it requires us to consider the possibility that it was present earlier. Essentially, then, the situation is really one of suffix. And since the potential iser involved is only midrabanan in nature, because midaraisa is batel b'shishim, so we can be makel according to this opinion. And then he goes on, Mishabur. Ruba didim etaragolas adayim b'mayim el shamayim nitzdanim. Talilon shenafla b'eishin nitzdanim amayim umutir l'das ha-matirin b'tzainim. He says, this applies as well if the chicken is still in the water, but the water has now cooled, meaning the kernel was discovered in the cold water, and the concern is that it may have already been present when the water was still hot. Since it's a case of suffix again, we can be makel according to this opinion, as he says. Because in this case, we assume that it fell when the water had already cooled, and the chicken is mutter, according to those who permit the transfer of tam, which took place via cold water. Right, according to the second view of the Shulchan Aruch, which maintains that we are machmir, that even a minute amount of chametz imparts taste into cold water, there would be no room, according to this, to be makel, since even if we would posit that the kernel entered the water after it already cooled down, the chicken would still be usher, because the tam imparted into the water would subsequently be absorbed by the chicken. Now, as far as the actual halacha, so we will see in the Ramah below regarding this issue. And again, this gets into the issue of, again, we'll see this coming up in the Ramah as well as in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Samach Beis. Let's see. Weiter. I hope everyone realizes that this is heavy duty Yeridaya factors here, back and forth, so many different issues that have to be taken into account. Now you can appreciate the complexities of the halachas when it comes to kashrus. Continuing now in the Ramah, Yesh mi she'oseh b'shar basar, u'matir b'tanag b'leis mikayach sveik sveika. He now says there are those who aser other types of meat, but permit a chicken due to a sveik sveika. So what does this mean? What does this all mean? Look at Mishnah Berurah, nunches, b'shar basar. Because he says, b'kai gavne she'yuchua b'cham enachar amalicha v'adocha, meaning, in a situation where the piece of meat was placed in hot water after the salting and the rinsing, and after it was moved from there, there is a cracked kernel, right? They found there a cracked kernel. So there, so here, we do project the presence of the kernel from one time to another, and we would posit that the wheat kernel was there before they removed the wheat. So they would aser in other basar, but they matir in a case of a chicken due to a sveik sveika. What's the sveik sveika by a chicken? So cut and test. Shema ha'isavatanagolas atzma ukvar nisakla ve'ein shayach ba'chimus. What's the kula? We mentioned this in our introduction in the beginning, that it may have been inside the chicken itself, in which case it was already digested such that it cannot become chametz anymore. Even if you'll say that it's not from inside the chicken, then Shema Atah Nafla. Maybe now it fell. The day of Rishon Shal Machaber Svirula, the Afkachita Shibi Tanagolas, Shayach Bachimus. And it comes out that the view of the Shulchan Aruch, that opinion maintains that even a wheat kernel which comes from inside a chicken is subject to chametz, as we explained in our introduction, that there are those that would maintain as follows. And this is what we assume the Shulchan Aruch is holding, because the Shulchan Aruch says if a kernel is discovered in water used to perform a leak on a chicken, the chicken is aser. So we have to explain, Mr. Bruce says, that the Shulchan Aruch would reject the Sveik Sveika mentioned by the Ramah. And he says that this opinion of the Shulchan Aruch holds that a kernel discovered inside a chicken does not lose its food status with regard to aser foods, right? Maybe with regard to tumah, but not, and therefore it can still become chametz. Okay? Again, it loses its status with respect to tumah. Therefore, he holds that there's no Sveik Sveika in this case because it still has the status. We move weiter. So he says, with respect to how to practice regarding all this, so he says that it appears that this is what you could follow in practice, that we should ask other types of meat, or in the case of a whole wheat kernel, even a chicken. And he says this applies only if the chickens were scalded. Dafka in Nimlagu Tarnagolim, Dahainu Shahayu Hamayim Chamin. He says it applies only if the chickens were scalded and the water was hot. However, he says, he says, however, that if the water was cold and someone soaked the chickens in it, he says one does not have to be machmir based on safek. Uvamakom Tika Lamemar Shema Nisake Lachita Batanagolas, and he says, and in a place where it is possible to say that the wheat kernel may have actually become digested in the chicken, for example, Egon Shehi Shvura, where it was ruptured, or Afilu B'Maliga Yeshal Hatir Mikol Seisek. Then he says, we can permit it even if it was Maliga based on a Sveik Sveika. Let's see this all in the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katam Samich, Shlema. The Bishlema, again, he had said that we should ask other meats, or in the case of a whole wheat kernel, even in a chicken. Shlema. The Bishlema Nakdinan. The Yesh Bachimats, the Nation Nikar Shlonisakim. Because he says, when you're dealing with a whole kernel, we assume that it can still become chametz, as it is apparent that it has not been digested. Meaning, according to this psak, only an item which has noticeably broken down can be assumed to have been digested within the chicken. And therefore, the Sveik Sveika that Ramah had mentioned above, part of which is based on the assumption of digestion, applies only to a broken kernel where it's broken in two, but not to a whole kernel. It had to have been broken in two. Shavura. Samech Aleph, Visharu Sham Ha Tarnit Golem. So the Ramah had said, again, this is how he's saying we should practice the halacha l'maisa. He says, however, if the water was cold and someone soaked the chickens in it, then and after the chickens were removed from there, a cracked wheat kernel was discovered there. Afilu shlema, even if it is whole, it would not be aser. And the lav dafka nakat tarnagolim. The examples of the chickens discussed by the Ramah is not exclusive. The same would apply, do a din, shar basar, gam kein ein lesser sveika. The same would apply to other types of meat. We would not aser based on sveika. The talinan, sh'achar l'kichas ha-basar rishon, nafal l'achita, kemen sh'amayim ha-yisonim. Because we basically say, and we assume that the kernel fell into the water only after the meat was removed from there, since anyway the water was cold. Anyway it was cold. The yesh matir in the gamrei b'tzayim. And some actually paskin that the chicken or meat altogether is mutter if the water is cold. Some poiskim, right? Namely, the first opinion brought down by the Shulchan Aruch would be makel even if the chicken or meat was certainly in the water as the same, at the, right? Even if it was certainly in the water at the same time as the kernel because the water is cold. So although we're machmir and take account of the other opinion, we can certainly rely on the makel opinion in the situation of safek. That's what the Ramah is saying here. Sif katan samech Beis, Ein Le Esor Mi Sveika, it is not necessary to answer the chickens based on a safek. Aval, in Bevadai Haisa, Hachita, Bishash, Nishra, Basar, B'mayim. However, if the wheat kernel was definitely present at the time that the meat was soaked in water, so then the Ramah's opinion, Daito, the Ramah's opinion here is, that's where he says the Ramah that we should be noyeg that with the opinion that asers the food that came into contact with chametz via cold water on Pesach. And he says va'yein b'levush v'taz va'or achronim shadaitam k'day arishona. Hamuskar b'mechaber the ain leesor b'tzonei b'chol gavmi. He says, check out the levush and the taz and other achronim who basically go with the first opinion mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch that it's not necessary to ask the food that came in contact with chametz via cold water in any situation. We mentioned this earlier that therefore, under pressing circumstances or in a situation of substantial loss, one can be megal in accordance with their opinion, and it is possible that Ramah himself, who answered the meat in cold water, would himself agree with this psak. This is pointed out by the Shahar Tzion. And he goes on to say in the Mishnah Brura, Ubeprat imachita ina bakua rak nitzracha bavada ina achmer. And he says, and especially if the wheat kernel has not cracked but has only softened, one certainly need not be machmer, as we pointed out way in the beginning of this yomi. And then he goes on. He says, all of this, however, is dafka by a wheat kernel. But in a more practical case, where a slice of bread or a piece of dough was found in the water, the achronim write that any food subsequently cooked with this water should be yasser, even though the chametz fell into cold water, because it's the nature of a slice of bread and of dough to crumble and dissolve into water. Therefore, regarding these items, we cannot rely at all upon the makel view. And the truth is, even straining the water is insufficient, because minuscule particles of bread may remain in the water. Maybe prior to Pesach, it would be okay. That's what we saw in Tuf Mem Zayin. Check the Mishnah Brura there, Sif Katan Lamed Vav. Now, it happens to be that the Shahar Tzion brings up the fact, well, what would be if the bread was found in the kli only after the cooking had already taken place, in a case where it's possible the bread entered the water container only after the cooking water was, the water used for cooking was removed. So do you have to be machmir in that case, in the case of serious financial loss? So there the Shahar Tzion goes into all the possibilities. A greater tzarachion is necessary for such a case. We continue on weiter. Now the Ramah goes on with an added kula dika situation where he says, Miu. However, in this arvuat haroivis, v'yeshefse v'ruba mias silchus yamtif, he says, if these mixtures became mixed with other food and there would be a substantial loss and it would impede on the silchus yamtif, then he says, yesh lahakel b'chol zeh b'sveikos yisra rabban shuv mashu. Then he says, we can be makel regarding all these issues, since they involve doubts regarding a derabanan of a minute amount of chametz contained within a mixture. And the Ramah continues, V'yesh lahatir sha'ar tafshilin she'yesh behen taroivis me'oise tafshil shel abasar she'nimshre b'mayim o nimlag kach nira li. He says, and we therefore permit other cooked foods into which was mixed that cooked meat which had been soaked in water or had been scalded. And he says, so it appears to me, kach nira li. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura, Sipkot Nisamach Gimel, V'yesh lahatir sha'ar tafshilin. We therefore permit other cooked foods, right, into which was mixed that cooked meat, etc. He says, Mashma ha'oisei tashil. Mashma implies that the original cooked meat, that's usser. Af behefseid meruba. It's going to be usser even in a case of hefseid meruba umeniya simchus yamtiv. It's going to be usser b'safek echad midir abanan. Right? So it implies that the original cooked meat is usser even in a situation of substantial loss and where it impinges on simchus yamtiv, interferes simchus yamtiv. If there's only a single safek regarding Eder Rabbanan, he says, see the Be'er Halacha, where the Be'er Halacha points out that most Achronim indeed understand the Ramah to aser the original piece of meat or chicken even in situations of significant loss. However, he does, the Bar Halacha, cite the view of the Gra, who maintains that the Ramah's Kula applies even to the first cooked dish. And therefore, according to this interpretation, the Ramah makes mention of the second cooked dish simply because he wishes to speak of cases involving significant loss. And once the piece of meat has been mixed with other pieces, it is more, you know, shayach to become a situation of significant loss. I ain't shum the Bar Halacha. And he goes on. Achen b'svei sveika nisrael b'tur ap lo hefsei b'ruv. He says, however, the situation of the svei sveika mentioned above, the food is going to be mutter even if there is no substantial loss, meaning if a broken kernel is discovered in hot water that had previously been used to scald a chicken, in that case there's a double suffix. Perhaps the kernel was already digested and therefore did not become chametz, and even if it is chametz, perhaps it fell into the water only after the chicken was removed. So that even without, okay, even if there is no substantial loss, okay, it's going to be permitted. You might move right there. Then he goes on. All of this, the permissibility in the case of a sveika, that applies to a sveika in a case of a mashahu, which is only usher, midravana. However, in the case of a sveika regarding a deraisa, we only would permit retaining the mixture in one's possession, and you'd be able to sell it to a non-Jew on Pesach. However, avalobachila would not allow eating such a sveika dika chame situation. The dafke hecha de efshar b'shehia. Okay, and he says this applies only if it is possible to keep it in one's possession until after Pesach. Avalam efshar b'shehia shiyiskal kalei dezeh. If, however, it is impossible to keep it until after Pesach, as it will become spoiled, right? She's calculated days there, it's going to become spoiled as a result. Then mutar af achila, then it's going to be permitted even to eat it. Particularly where there would be a substantial loss if we were going to ask a consumption of the mixture, one certainly need not be stringent. You wouldn't have to be machmir. Okay, this is all based on the fact of as follows, that first of all, right, we have the Ramah in Sif Beis. He paskins that one can rely upon a sveika to permit retaining chametz but not consuming it. Now, sveika is generally sufficient grounds to permit even a deraisa. So this is something that we discussed, why there should be a svar at all to be machmir. But here, he's saying, Mr. Bura, that if refraining from eating food would cause a loss, one can rely on sveik sveika, because sveik sveika does work on the raisa, and it will allow and it will permit even consumption, even eating. Finally, sif katan samach dalid, shenishra b'mayim onimlag. We could therefore permit other cooked food into which was mixed that cooked meat, which had been soaked in water or had been scalded in maliga. And he says, lav b'chada gabnahu, that these two cases of soaking meat in cold water and scalding meat in hot water are not really equivalent to each other. He says, because if the meat was soaked in cold water, then even if the kernel was discovered while the meat was still there, the mixture into which this meat fell is still mutter. Okay? Meaning, in case of significant loss, as the Ramah had said. Why? Because the yesh tafek dirabana, the shematzonin eno maflit uma vliya klal. Because there's a suffix regarding a drabbana, because perhaps cold water would not cause expulsion or absorption of taste at all. Since it's a matter of machlokes, whether any transfer of tam takes place in cold water, so as such, even the first piece of meat is also only out of suffix. So Ramah permits the second cooked dish in the case of substantial loss. However, when it comes to the case of scalding meat, v'nimlag shehu b'chamin, mairi, on the other hand, in the case of scalding meat, which involves hot water, there it would refer only to a case where the wheat kernel was discovered in the water only after the meat or chicken was removed from there. And the mixture into which the kernel fell is mutter umutter afilu nimlag bekli risho. Right? The mixture into which the kernel fell is going to be permitted in that scenario, even if the meat was scalded maliga in a kli rishon. Why? umitan yesh suffik shema atan nafla who iser mashu shudabadan the kach matirin behav se meruba. Because basically there's a suffik that perhaps the kernel fell now after the scalding, and it is at most an iser caused by a minute amount, which is the rabbanan, and for this reason we permit it in cases of substantial loss. We will end with an important summary of all the psukim of the Mishnah Berurah pertaining to the main issues in this sif. So we have as follows. If we are discussing a kernel found in water that had previously been used to perform maliga, again, kernel was found in water that had previously been used to perform maliga. So we'll say this, he says as follows. If the kernel is broken into two, the chicken is going to be mutter because there is a sveik sveika concerning a drabanam. The chicken itself will be permitted. If the kernel is not broken into two, the chicken is going to be usher according to the Ramah, and according to most Achronim, this is true even in a case of Hefseid Meruba, whereas according to the Gra, we pointed out that the Beralacha says it's going to be permitted in the case of a significant loss. Now, there's a machlokas concerning whether the above applies if the kernel was merely softened. So if the maliga took place in a klisheni, one who is makel, if the kernel only softened, if you're makel here, in such a case, so the Mishnah Berurah says one does not lose out. If he's makel in the case if the kernel only softened. Then, last but not least, regarding this issue, if the chicken upon which mariga was performed was mixed in with other food, the mixture is permitted if it is a case of significant loss. This is all in the Ramah. Then we have a case of where the kernel is found in cold water, which was previously or subsequently used to knead dough or to cook with. So, here, if it is known that the kernel was present in the water before it was used to cook or knead with, then the food cooked or dough kneaded is asr. However, this is the Ramah. In a situation of significant loss or duress, Mishnah Berurah says one can be makel, especially if the kernel only softened and did not crack. Then, the Ramah also points out that if it's unknown whether the kernel was present before the water was used to knead or cook, here he says you can be makel. This is the Ramah himself. And if the kernel soaked in the water for 24 hours, the water has definitely absorbed taste. And if it's used to cook or knead, the food or dough is going to be usher even in a case of loss. But if the kernel only softened, we could be makel. This is all pointed out in Mishnah Berurah, Nun Hei. And even if it is cracked, if it was only found after the water was used to cook or knead, then we could be makel because there's a sveik sveika at the very least. And at the very least, in a case of substantial loss or duress, one could be makel. This is all in the Mishnah Berurah, Nun Hei. And finally, if bread or dough were found in water, which was then used to cook or knead, so the Mishnah Berurah, as well as the Shaar Tzion, Mishnah Berurah, Samach Beis, the Shaar Tzion, Kuf Yud Aleph, maintain that if the bread or dough were found in water, which was then used to cook or knead, we cannot be makel even in a case of significant loss. If it is unknown whether they were in the water before it was used to cook or knead the dough, then the Shaar Tzion points out that the halacha is unclear.